Parshat Re'eh, Moshe Rabbeinu continues speaking with the Jewish people. He now transitions from talking about the past and the occurrences of their experiences in the desert. He now looks forward. Forward, mind you, to a place where he himself would not be entering, but he knows that his people will be entering, led by his disciple Joshua. In entering the land of Israel, they'll be exposed to different nations' way of serving their gods and their idols. And over here, Moshe Rabbeinu once again warns not to be swept up. The assimilation aspect of undertaking and adapting the different customs and manners of serving God. No, don't do so to Hashem your God. And over here comes a new concept. Only to the place that Hashem has chosen from all of the tribes to place his name there, and it's there and specifically there that the divine presence will rest, and that's the place that you shall go to serve Hashem. And what's fascinating over here is that, again, Moshe Rabbeinu says very clearly, don't do how we've been doing it till now, and I'll explain that in a moment, where each person, upon their whim, could bring up a sacrifice on a temporary altar, because you should know that the system of being able to bring up a sacrifice to God wherever you want was because we have not yet reached to the resting place and to the eternal inheritance that Hashem has given to you. However, that's about to change, because when you go into the land of Israel, there's going to be the resting place and there's going to be the eternal place that Hashem has given to you as the eternal inheritance forever. And by the way, the resting place was the Mishkan of Shiloh, Shiloh being in Samaria. And you can actually visit the place today. For 369 years, that's where the tabernacle stood until King David established as the capital Jerusalem for the Jewish people. That's the eternal inheritance. And his son Solomon built the first temple. So we're referring to the temples, and in ways, it's a seismic change in the way they were to conduct themselves. Don't forget, this is the people which God took out of Egypt, which traveled around the desert, which are now going into their own land. This is something that was promised to the forefathers, the matriarchs, and the patriarchs. And now it's unfolding. Moses, as mentioned, will not go into the land of Israel. Joshua will take it, but he wants to make sure that everything is set up correctly. To bring up a sacrifice at this point would require coming to Yerushalayim, the Kohanim, would actually do the service. The space would be a sacred place, the actual space. And indeed, we know that the sacred nature of Jerusalem and of Temple Mount actually never dissipated till today. As mentioned in previous weeks, we still mourn the destruction of the temple, and we still revere on the highest level of sanctity, with purity, the place called Temple Mount. Now the Rebbe points out something beautiful over here, because we talk about the tabernacle, which is the traveling temple. It started when the Jews were in the desert, and we have it described vividly in the book of Numbers. And even when they went into the land of Israel, they were still moving that tabernacle around until they found more permanence. So for the first 14 years, where they actually conquered and divided the land, so that was still the traveling tabernacle. But they got to Shiloh afterwards. Shiloh for 369 years, it was more of a permanent structure, but it still wasn't the eternal and final resting place, which was Jerusalem, that only came afterwards. But we do see with the tabernacle itself, the Rebbe points out, that it was actually on one level. So it was one floor. Whereas when it came to the temple, the Beit HaMikdash, it was actually multi-leveled structure. And indeed, as you walked upstairs, getting to the next level, which brought you into a new area of the temple itself, it also represents ascending in the spiritual level. And in fact, there were certain parts of the temple that different people couldn't go into. If you were Israelite, you couldn't go beyond a certain point. If you were Levite, you couldn't go beyond a certain point. If you were Kohen, you could access certain points, but still not go to the next point. And of course, we know that there's the Holy of Holies, which was the holiest point in the temple. Only the high priest went in, and he only went in once a year, and that was on Yom Kippur itself. So it was definitely multi-leveled, and more than multi-leveled. It was also levels of holiness that was an ascension sort of level. And the Rebbe points out that why would the Mishkan itself be one level, whereas the Beit HaMikdash was multi-levels? And he says, because the Mishkan, the traveling tabernacle, the holiness didn't rest on the place itself. It rested on the walls, it rested on the different vestments and vessels and items that constructed the tabernacle, but the place upon which it rested didn't itself become holy. As opposed to the Beit HaMikdash, it's not just about the walls, it wasn't just about the vestments, it wasn't just about the vessels, but it was about the actual place itself. And that, as we say the words, eternal, you know what eternal means? Eternal means that it's not time constrained. It means that Hashem has chosen that place. That is a holy place. It's our holy place. It was promised to us. It was given to us. And it is eternal, meaning it will forever be the holy place for us as the Jewish nation. And over here, what's fascinating is that you can imagine that Jews lived all over Israel, and yet when they needed to bring up a sacrifice and they needed to bring the tithe to the Beit HaMikdash, they all had to ascend to Jerusalem. And they did this three times a year, Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot. There was a mitzvah to come to the temple. They could come whenever they wanted, but it was a mitzvah specifically to come then. Let's picture this, the restrictive nature of not being able to bring up a sacrifice anywhere and having to travel. It could be 3-4 days in order to get there. It could be 6, 7, 8, 9 days to get there if you were in the further environs. But also the anticipation and also the holiness that was specifically relegated to that space, to ascend to that space, to prepare oneself to go to a holy space, to actually put in the effort to travel towards the holy space where it's not accessible all over the place. It's not virtual where you could sit in one place and you can access that place via a camera. You actually have to physically get up and go. You can only imagine the experience of it and how all-encompassing it was in order to go to the Beis HaMikdash. And indeed, it was awesome. Another point that comes out in this parasha is that till then, the way the Jews would eat meat, was permitted to eat meat, was to bring up a sacrifice. Certain parts of it were brought up to Hashem, and the other parts were permitted to eat. And at this point, Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, it will be when Hashem will expand your land for you. Well, then, if you want to eat meat, this is the way you can eat meat. You don't have to bring up a sacrifice to do it. So actually, the sacrifices became more restrictive, but the ability to eat meat anywhere actually became less restrictive, which is a very great practicality of instituting, although this is divine, so it's not the practicality, but think about the practicality. And the reason I bring that to the fore is because Judaism has an extreme level of practicality to it, in addition to the fact, or not to be mixed up on any level, that it's divine. And the reason we do it is not because it's practical, and the reason we do it is not because it's easy. But you see that Judaism has survived throughout the ages and survived for thousands of years, not because we whittle it down and not because we evolve in the laws themselves, although they apply differently to modern day scenarios, but because Hashem has given to us as it also the mitzvahs as an eternal inheritance. And both the place of the Beit HaMikdash and the way we conduct ourselves both have an eternal nature. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving this over to the Jewish people, and he's rooting for the Jewish people. And indeed, he did a good job, because the ball and the baton was passed to me and you, and it's up to us to ensure the eternal nature with our families and our grandchildren, please God. Amen. Have a great day.